60 years later, Edith recalls seeing him. I was 16 at the time, and he was the most handsome man I ever saw. He stood out from the rest. He was clearly in charge. He was wearing his soldier's uniform with long, perfectly clean white gloves. Edith told me that the gloves gave him an air of sophistication. They accentuated his striking good looks. These gloves also provided the first indication of the evil within, as he casually pointed to the right or to the left at the front of the line. With one flick of his gloved finger, he indicated whether someone was sentenced to death and off to the gas chambers, or if they would be temporarily kept alive, albeit barely. The man who Edith recalled was, of course, Dr. Joseph Mengele, the so-called doctor of Auschwitz, better known to our people as the Auschwitz monster. Edith was 16 years old when Hungary was conquered by the Nazis. Quickly, the Germans mobilized and they formed a Jewish ghetto in her town. And only after 3 weeks in the ghetto, the Jews were deported to Auschwitz. There she saw Mengele. This past Thursday, on Yom HaShoah, I had the opportunity to spend some time with Edith and to hear her story. She remembers her happy childhood in Europe, the sense of security which every child should feel when she was in her father's presence. She remembers disbelief. Even as she got off the train at Auschwitz and was then separated from her father and brother, never to see them again. She remembers the deep fear and the deep hunger that consumed all her days at Auschwitz. And she remembers her own small heroic acts that gave her hope. She shared with me one. After she was sent from Auschwitz to a labor camp and assigned to produce German artillery, she would defiantly sabotage her efforts. A mismatched screw here, a forgotten piece there. The thought that she was doing something to truncate the war, something to end the Nazi regime, gave her hope. And it gave her reason to live. Edith is a hero. All of the survivors are heroes. Heroes for holding on to life while surrounded by death. Heroes for finding something to live in while facing ultimate evil. And heroes for never allowing us to forget. Edith Singer teaches us to remember. For 40 years at Sinai Temple Religious School, Edith has shared her story and the story of our people during the Shoah, during the Holocaust. Every Wednesday and Sunday, Edith comes to teach our children. I asked her why. She told me, "My husband taught at LA Hebrew High for 44 years, so I only need 5 more years before I can beat him." After I laughed, she added, "I love those children. I love to be with them. I don't know, maybe it has something to do with the Shoah." Edith Singer, a seemingly ordinary woman who is extraordinary. Edith, the survivors of the Holocaust, these are some of the true heroes. Too often, we elevate those who are unworthy to hero status. It is not their fault. It's ours. We feed the craze that allows an athlete, a man or a woman, who can toss a ball through a hoop, run from point A to point B, or hit a ball with a bat. We allow them to become objects of our adoration. We subscribe to the hysteria that permits every detail of an actor's life to be photographed, written about, and published. We must ask ourselves, what is our uncomfortable obsession with them? Why do we elevate them to heroic status? What do we value? What traits and achievements are truly heroic? Who do we want our children to look up to? Who are our heroes? The mid-20th century journalist and author, Gerald White Johnson, wrote, "Heroes are created by popular demand, sometimes out of the scantiest of materials, or none at all." In response to questions concerning his often outlandish behavior, Charles Barkley, the basketball star of the late 80s and early 90s, consistently proclaimed, "I am not a role model." Now, critics were often disturbed by Barkley's refusal to accept the mantle of heroism. People look up to him, yet he refuses to behave. While Barkley's behavior was often inexcusable, he, as Johnson wrote, was constructed out of the scantiest of materials, a true product of our demand. We tend to look to the tabloids and sports pages for heroes when there is a better answer, a place where we can find true heroes. "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Kedoshim tihiyu, ki kadosh ani Adonai Elohechem." So we read in this morning's Torah portion. In order to be close to God, in order to be holy, we must emulate God. Now, if following God seems difficult practically, if we need something more approachable, something closer to our own condition, the very next pasuk tells us where to turn. "Each person shall revere his mother and father. Ish imo ve'aviv tirahu." Our mothers and fathers, our families, the people with whom we have relationships, our friends, our classmates, the people sitting with us today here in Shul. It is here where we find true heroes. Seemingly ordinary people who are extraordinary. Sitting amongst us today and every day are true heroes. Heroes like Edith Singer and all of the survivors. People who work to ensure that Judaism and the Jewish people endure. Our parents, heroes who have sacrificed for their families and friends. At every meeting I have with a bar or bat mitzvah family, I ask the boy or girl to tell me the biggest lesson that they learned, or the greatest gift they received from their parents. As a rabbi, I am often moved by their responses. For these children, their parents are their heroes. And I never cease to be amazed by the parents, seemingly ordinary people who do extraordinary things for their children. This coming Wednesday, on Yom HaZikaron, Israel's Memorial Day, we will honor all those who died defending our homeland. On Thursday, we will celebrate Yom HaAtzma'ut, Israel's Independence Day. Therefore, I'd like to share the story of another hero, a hero of the state of Israel, a Jew from Kansas City, a men's clothing salesman named Eddie Jacobson. In late 1947, the General Assembly of the United Nations voted to approve the partition plan, a plan for the establishment of a Jewish state alongside an Arab state. The partition plan marked the international community's approval of the right of a sovereign Jewish state to be formed in our homeland for the first time in 2,000 years. As the British rule over the land drew to a close, tensions rose between the Arabs and the Jews over the future. And these tensions led to acts of violence. The international community began to consider withdrawing support for the partition plan, fearful of war. Even in the United States, there was increasing pressure to abort support of the partition plan. Without the United States' support, the plan did not stand a chance to survive. And President Harry S. Truman seriously considered withdrawing United States' support. In the spring of 1948, with Truman wavering, Eddie Jacobson, the men's clothing salesman from Kansas City, acted extraordinarily. At one time, Jacobson had a business partner, but the partner quit the business in order to pursue a career in politics. Jacobson and his ex-business partner remained close. And in the spring of 1948, Jacobson paid a visit to his ex-business partner to plead the cause for a Jewish state. Jacobson's ex-business partner was President Harry S. Truman. After meeting with Jacobson, who encouraged Truman to meet with Chaim Weizmann, the leading Zionist spokesperson, Truman resolved to resist pressure to withdraw support of the partition plan. He stood firm in his support of a Jewish state. Under the leadership of President Truman, and because of Eddie Jacobson, the clothing salesman from Kansas City, the United States was the first country to recognize the State of Israel. Extraordinary. People like Edith Singer and Eddie Jacobson, people who are in our communities, people who we know, people with whom we have relationships, people who we love. These people are our true heroes. And to see it, to see their heroism, only requires that we look. That we look beyond the headlines of the sports page, beyond the lights of Hollywood and the covers of glossy magazines, to see our true heroes, we only need to recognize that seemingly ordinary people can be extraordinary. Shabbat Shalom.